Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And you can also put your finger in Matthew, if you would, in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be going there from Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Everybody know where Deuteronomy is? I remember my dad was very unacquainted with Scripture when he was in the earth. My father, my earthly father, he just wasn't a nice dude, man. He's as mean as a junkyard dog. But I led him to the Lord before he went to heaven. Amen? After I led him to the Lord, he called me on the telephone one day. He wanted to know who this dude Deuter was in the Bible. Who's this Deuter? I said, Deuter? Yeah, who's Deuter? I said, in the Bible? He said, yeah. I said, Deuter? He goes, yeah, Deuteronomy. Who is he? He really asked me that. Who is Deuteronomy? Hallelujah. So I had to explain to him that that's one of the books of the law that the Hebrew people follow, the Torah, the Pentateuch. Amen. Deuter, Brother Deuter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. Amen. His word is so good. Amen. Listen, we believe in signs. We believe in wonders. We believe in miracles. We pray for manifestations of God's Spirit. But we don't follow signs, wonders, and miracles. We follow the word. We don't build on miracles. We build on the word. Miracles follow the word. Maturity doesn't come from running around and following miracles and signs and wonders, wherever they may be occurring. Maturity in God comes through growth in His word. And that's why we say the gathering at Cape Cod is a word and a spirit church. Amen? Amen? We build on the word, but we believe in demonstrations of God's Spirit. God still does miracles today. Amen? Amen. I am a miracle. Slain in the spirit for nearly 3 full days and delivered from cocaine and alcohol addiction through a visitation of an angel in my living room. In my living room. In 14 Sunnyside Road in Woburn, Massachusetts, 01801, in the spring of 1981. An angel of God came and visited me in my living room, touched me on my head with his giant hand 3 times. I fell under the power of God for nearly 3 full days. I didn't dream. I didn't change positions. Pastor, you tell this all the time. How much longer are we going to have to listen to this? As long as you go to this church. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So your answer is forever. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Didn't dream, didn't eat, didn't breathe. I don't believe I was breathing. Didn't make any pit stops. Just like Maria Woodworth Edda when she stood in that gospel tent in St. Louis, Missouri, for 3 days, frozen in position in the middle of a sermon. God stopped her, froze her in her feet. She stopped breathing. She stopped preaching. She froze like concrete for 3 days. 20,000 people filed by and looked at her and touched her and checked her. Grown men tried to pick her up off the floor, and they said it was like she was nailed to the floor. They couldn't get her off the floor. All the St. Louis newspapers covered it. You can read about it on the internet. She wasn't breathing. 3 days later, as the lines were filing by, like they were at the wax museum or something, looking at her, she picked right up her sermon where she had left off exactly 3 days before and completed it, and they had to tell her after what happened to her. She had no idea it happened to her. I woke up nearly 3 full days later, and I was absolutely supernaturally delivered from drug and alcohol addiction, hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. It was gone. I hopped in this. I didn't even realize. I had the television going. I had prayed a prayer with a television evangelist. So I'm not opposed to TV evangelists. Amen. I am one. Amen. Amen. TV was still on from when I prayed with that fella. And I realized by listening to the newscast that evening, I'm missing 2 days. I've been out for 3 nearly 3 full days. I went and I took a shower, and in the shower I was thinking to myself, I don't know why I'm doing this. Because whatever happened to me when I prayed, I'm cleaner on the inside than I ever could be on the outside. I came to discover later that the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, all things are new, and all things are of God. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on my behalf, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I've never taken a shower since. Hallelujah. I take a shower every day, whether I need one or not. Amen? Hallelujah. We're talking about miracles around here. Amen? Today, we're going to be talking about miracles and children, but I want to point something out to you that Moses said, the Lord said, in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's just jump over here, and for time's sake, I'll just read verse 40. Thou shalt keep, therefore, his statutes and his commandments, all 1,050 of them, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children. Please say, and with thy children. That it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong the days, thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Now, we don't keep these commandments anymore, the books of the law. Jesus said in John 13:34, he said, a new, singular, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another even as I love you. So the only commandment we have to follow to prolong our days, to be blessed in the earth, and for God to bless our children after us, is to walk in love. Even when those times come when we would just flat prefer anything else to it. If we'll just say to those who curse us, who cuss us, who persecute us, speak all manner of evil against us, and use us despitefully, if we'd just say to them, I bless you in Jesus' name, I choose to bless you in Jesus' name and pray that God we saw would repent in them for their ugly, tired ways. Hallelujah. Walk in love. Walk in love. God said, I'll see to it that you're blessed, your children are blessed, and that you live a long, prosperous life on this earth. Go to the book of Matthew, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 17. One commandment. If we want to see our children blessed, walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. That's what walking in the Spirit really is, you know. We've been teaching that for the past 2 or 3 months on Wednesday nights. We've been teaching on divine love and divine benefits. Amen? And if you've been here, it's been good. And even if you weren't here, it was good. Amen? Amen? We're finishing it up this week. Last week we talked about divine love and human enemies. This week we're going to be talking about divine love and human health. Amen? Oh, it's so important to walk in love. That is all walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is not memorizing the entire Bible and being able to quote it from memory. Amen? That's why I got married. Hallelujah. So I can do things better. My microphone was hidden under my necktie. It looks better that way, but it doesn't work as well. Walking in the Spirit is walking in love. He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, we've been created in His image and in His likeness. That means we've been created in the image of love because God is love. Amen. You're there in Matthew chapter 17. You need a miracle for your children, anybody? Some of you need your children to repent and get saved. Amen. Some of you need your children to come back to the Lord. Some of you need your children to be healed. Amen. Some of you have nieces and nephews. Let me just tell you, your faith will work effectively, not only for yourself, but for your family, all the way out to your first cousin. And then from your first cousin beyond, those other family members have other family members who are responsible for them. You will find that your faith will work super abundantly, super effectively, all the way out to your first cousin. You can believe for your grandparents. You can believe for your children. You can believe for nieces and nephews. And you can believe for first cousins, aunts and uncles. You can believe and your faith will work. God will honor your faith for your family. Barbara read it this morning, Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your entire household. Amen. Don't be wondering if God wants to save your ugly family or not. Amen? You know what I mean? I'm not calling your family ugly. You know what I'm saying. Something about family. We all got them, including Jesus. Jesus' background, if I may be so bold and say it respectfully, it's like a stinking soap opera. I mean, David and Bathsheba? What's up with that? That's Jesus' lineage. We all got ugly in our family. Amen? Hallelujah. God loves them all just like you love them. God wants to save them all just like you want to see them saved. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody once asked Barbara Bush, the wife of President Bush 1, during an interview, they said to her, Mrs. Bush, which of your children do you love the most? And she said, whichever one's in the most trouble. And that's how God feels about us. Which of your children do you love the most? They asked her. I thought, how dare someone ask that? But she came right back with the wisdom of God, and she said, whichever one is in the most trouble. That's how God feels about us and our family members. Amen? You might think they're beyond restoration, but you're wrong again. Amen? You've been wrong before, you're wrong now. And you'll be wrong again. Just like me, I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again. Amen? No matter how bad your children might be, there's hope if you'll walk in love, and if only you believe, and expect Him to intervene in their lives. Amen? And then please, leave them alone. Don't hound them and hop on them with the gospel. It's the worst thing you can do. Just love them and pray for them. Believe God to send laborers. Amen, Rachel? Amen? Hallelujah. Leave them alone for the love of Mike. Leave them alone. Do you trust God? Do you believe God? Then prove it to them. Say, God, you do it. You send laborers. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and He'll send laborers to the harvest. He'll send just the right one who can get the job done where you can. Amen? Everybody go, whew. Whew, I'm so relieved. I don't have to do it. I just have to love them. Amen? Even when they're wrong, don't hop, don't hop, don't hop. Don't find fault. Don't pick and pick and pick and pick. Love and love and love and love and love. Amen? You can tell them, I love you. I don't agree with what you're doing. Just because I love you doesn't mean I'm condoning what you're doing. I don't agree with the way you live your life. But I love you. And it'll never change. Do you understand me? It'll never, never change. And then just tell the devil, when you're off alone, tell the devil, up your nose with a rubber hose. Amen? Because love never fails. Hallelujah. Shall we dismiss? Hallelujah. Listen. The scriptures are full of wonderful accounts that reveal Jesus' tender concern for children. Amen? Amen? One I'm thinking of right now off the top of my head is when all those mothers brought those children to Jesus for Him to lay His hands on them. And the disciples said, get those little stink bombs out of here. And Jesus said, whoa, 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 whoa. Suffer or allow the little children to come unto me. And until you have faith like these little ones, you ain't even going to make it into the kingdom, He told His disciples. He told His disciples, never stop children from coming to me. He has as much compassion and concern for children and young people like McLean as He does for any adult on this earth. He has compassion for children. Amen? Jesus loves children. Now, we want to look at just a few of the miracles Jesus performed on behalf of children to encourage you and to help you believe. Where did I ask you to go? I want to encourage you this morning to believe His power is available to your children and to your entire household. He wants to save them. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Get it settled now. End of story. It is God's will to save your family. And if you'll just hold Him to it respectfully, He'll get the job done. You will see every one of your family members in eternity if you'll put your faith on it and believe. And He'll do it without violating their free will, the same way you got saved. You did it as a conscious act of your own free will. Amen? Revelation of His Word came to you. Faith for salvation came by hearing the message of salvation. You accepted it. They will accept it. So you can just chill, relax, and just know the Holy Ghost is more than sufficient to get the job done. Oh, you're not designed to carry your own burdens. How are you going to carry theirs? 1 Peter 5:7 says to cast every care upon Him because He careth for you. You got children you've been worrying about? Just repent right now. Just repent right now if you've been worrying about family members' salvation, because that's a sin. It's the opposite of faith. As soon as you stop worrying, that's when you'll start seeing the supernatural occur in your family. Once you make up your mind to make up your mind, I'm just not going to worry about it anymore, because worry blocks the spot where the power comes out, you'll see the power of God begin to flow. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 17. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Keep that in mind as we go through these narratives quickly. Verse 14, they were come to the multitude, and there came to him a certain man. See, it's not a parable. It's a certain man who lived at a certain time in human history. This is a narrative, not a parable. Kneeling down to Jesus and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. The word is actually moonstruck. Now, I'm going to just explain something before we read any further. And we do have, it is a $2 fine for reading one ahead of me. $2 fine, penalty. We have a demerit system around here. Amen? Don't want you to miss this. He was called a lunatic for the same reason people are called lunatics today. Hallelujah. For the same reason people are called lunatics today. Listen to what I'm about to say here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sege peru manoku seki peru do shuki peru masete. Frabe do segi param mo niki peru da segi peredeshte. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. Jesus said, you resist the devil, he will flee from you. But you're going to have to do the resisting. You can't tell God, please get the devil off me, when he said, you get him off yourself in Jesus' name. They were called lunatics because during the change phases of the moon, the devil would act up in people. During full moons, the devil would act up in people. He still does it today to get the focus off the demon in the person and get it on the moon. The word lunatic is actually moonstruck when you look it up in the Greek. My son is moonstruck. Every time the moon changes a phase, every time the moon goes into its fullness, this happens to him. He throws him into the fire, into the water, tries to kill him. It's a suicide spirit. It's a suicide spirit. You know suicide's a spirit? When you have a thought of suicide and you just sit there accepting it, if you just sit there and you don't do anything about it, he'll oppress you. He'll obsess you. It will ultimately force you to take your life. When you have a thought of suicide, and everyone has thoughts of suicide. Everyone. You know Jesus had thoughts of suicide? He had to have, because Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted in all points, like unto us, yet without sin. How about when the devil took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, go ahead, jump, stupid. The angels will catch you. He rebuked them. He rebuked that spirit. Here in this boy, this lunatic, he wasn't a lunatic. He had a demon problem. You know, even today, the police are so busy during full moons. Because the demons act up and people still pulling the same tricks they were pulling in Jesus' day, trying to get the focus off themselves and on the moon. You've heard people say during a full moon, oh, the nuts are going to be out tonight. There's a full moon. Lo and behold, here they come. And they do. And look at how Jesus handled it. Amen. Have mercy on my son. He's moonstruck and sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire and into the water. The thing's trying to kill him. It's a spirit of suicide. When suicide comes, say, suicide, go! In Jesus' name. They brought him to I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't cure him. Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, when will you learn what I'm trying to teach you? How long shall I suffer you? bring the boy to me. And Jesus rebuked the moon. He rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very same hour. Look what this guy did. He asked Jesus to have mercy on his child, and he got a miracle. Casting out of unclean spirits is miraculous. The Bible calls it a miracle. Amen? Remember when John said to Jesus, we came across a guy casting out unclean spirits in your name, and he isn't part of our group, so we told him to stop. And Jesus said, don't ever do that, because no one can perform a miracle in my name and be against me. He called casting out unclean spirits a miracle. No one can perform a miracle of casting out unclean spirits and not be my friend. Jesus cast the spirit out of the guy, out of that guy's boy. Amen? First, he asked Jesus for mercy. Just you can do for your children. And say, have mercy on them, Jesus. Just have mercy on them. God knows how to demonstrate mercy on your child or your family member's behalf. He knows what he needs or she needs better than you do. Take a lesson from this man. He asked for mercy. Amen? Hallelujah. Go over to John chapter 4. Show you another time Jesus showed concern for a child. Amen? Hallelujah. The strongest desire anybody can have as you're going to John chapter 4 is to live. Do you realize that? That's the strongest desire human beings have. The second one is to procreate. God made us that way. The strongest desire any human being has in this earth is the desire to go on living. And any time that desire, you're impressed that that desire is being tampered with in any way and you're not wanting to live anymore, you better address the devil. You believe in Satan and demons? You believe in angels? Listen, over 104 visitations of angels to humans in the Bible. I counted them. I have had no less than 10 visitations of angels in my life. Recently, at Dowsers Beach in Austerville, Massachusetts, I was sitting in the car with my wife. And for the first time, she experienced it with me. Two angels. They're here, and demon powers are here as well. You can't believe in angels from Scripture and not believe in demons. If you make a decision, you're just not going to believe in this, you know, this archaic doctrine of demons, you're going to have to cut well over 200 holes in your Bible to get them out of there. They're here, and they're going to be here until Revelation chapter 20 when the angel comes to lock them in the pit. You know that the same demons Jesus cast out of people are still in this earth today? They haven't gone anywhere. They're still in the earth, same demons. You can't cast them into the lake of fire. They haven't gone yet. They don't have to go there. They'll be put in the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20. Until then, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to hold them in incarceration. Didn't Jesus say, he said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and now behold, I give you power over all the ability of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm you. He said, I give you authority. You better do something about the devil in your kid's life. Amen? In your loved one's life. Well, what do I do, Pastor? You just say, Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name. It'll have tremendous effect and results if you do it. If you've been asking God, get the devil off him, get the devil off him. You're going to have to stop that. He gave you authority to do something about the devil. Amen? I could go off in that direction for an hour, but I won't. I don't think. John chapter 4, real quick. Let's look at the nobleman's son. John chapter 4, pick it up in verse 46. Amen? So Jesus came to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. That was the first miracle he did. Remember that? He turned water at a wedding feast. You know what he was doing? He was sanctifying marriage, not condoning booze. There was unfermented wine. There's two kinds of wine in the Bible. You want to know more about it, go to the homepage of our website and read the Jesus drank wine lie, the Bible expose you want to read. Amen? He was sanctifying marriage. And now here he comes along and he's going to heal. This is the second miracle he performed, was on a child. How important the children to Jesus. And there was a certain nobleman. He's actually a prince of royal family of Rome, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to Jesus and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus said unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, please come down, lest my child die. And Jesus said, Listen, look at Jesus. Didn't even pray here. He didn't go down over there. He didn't pray. He gave a command. He said, Go thy way, thy son liveth. You know what he's doing here? He's teaching us how to deal with Satan and demon powers. You've got to tell the devil, Go! And he will go. You will be surprised at how effective your faith is if you will speak up to the devil. He's the one, you know. He uses pronouns. The devil talks to you, and he uses pronouns. And when you bind him, he'll say to you, What am I, crazy? And because he used a pronoun, said I, instead of you, What are you, crazy? He says, What am I, crazy? You think it was your thought because he used a pronoun. And you yield to that intimidation, and you stop doing that. Did you get that? He's trying to confuse you, just like he does with the moon. So I'm not crazy. You go from my children. And I'm not going to tell you again. I enforce your defeat in Jesus' name. Jesus said, Go thy way, thy son liveth. Just gave a faith command. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. Do you believe the word I'm speaking to you today about your children, your loved ones, your offspring, your family? You have to believe. See, I do a little thing and preach the gospel. You do a medium-sized thing and believe the gospel, and God will do a big thing and He'll confirm the gospel. Amen. Now that's good preaching. I enjoyed every minute of saying that. I preach it, you believe it, He'll confirm it. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying myself today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man believed and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, that's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The first hour is at 6 in the morning. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left. The father knew it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Now notice here, if you would, Jesus said, Go thy way, your son liveth, or he's healed. And the people came and they said, He began to amend yesterday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the guy realized, that's when I was with Jesus. That's when Jesus said that. They said, He began to amend. Your child might not get delivered immediately, but they will get delivered ultimately. Delay is not denial. Please say that. Delay is not denial. Sometimes it happens instantly. Sometimes it happens progressively. But it's guaranteed to happen. If you'll just walk in love and refuse to worry and don't block the spout where the power comes out with worry. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. We're going to look at another miracle. Mark chapter 5. Trust God. Trust God. He'll help you. He'll move on behalf of your children. Deuteronomy 4:40, He said, If you walk in love, I'll not only bless your children, I'll bless you, and I'll cause you to live long on this earth. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. Here's Jesus is raising one little girl from the dead. You think your kid's hopeless? You think your situation might be hopeless with maybe your child? Here in Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Say, Pastor, this is really blessing me. It doesn't matter whether you can tell or not. This is really blessing me. Hallelujah. I know that it is because it's the Holy Ghost imparting faith to you for loved ones. Amen. Behold, verse 22. There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, Jesus, Jairus fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. That's a faith declaration if I ever heard one. Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. And then he got interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood who reached out and touched his garment. The power flowed. 12 years of a bloody flux stopped instantly. And then jumped down in verse 35. While he yet spoke to the woman who I just described to you, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Now look what Jesus said. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid. Stay in faith. Keep on believing. Don't stop believing in spite of this bad report." Verse 38. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. These were professional mourners. And when he was come in, they were paid to cry and make noise. When Jesus came in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But he put him out, take the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying, took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. I want to just point something out here. Jesus told those people who laughed and mocked, they were professional mourners. They were professional mourners. They were paid to be in their mourning. They weren't grieving, because when he came in and said, she's not dead, she sleepeth, they busted out laughing. There's some deep grief for you. And you know what he did? He told them, get out. He threw them out. Well, that's what they did, isn't it? They laughed him to scorn. He put them out. He got rid of the unbelief. You know, he did that in Mark chapter 8 with a blind man. He took him out of the city of Bethsaida because the city was so full of unbelief. He wanted that man to be able to agree and believe with him. He took him out of the city to heal him, to get him out of the unbelief. That's Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 8, he did the same thing with a deaf man and a dumb man. He took them away from the crowd because there was so much unbelief in the crowd. He had to get them away to where he could work. And then he put his fingers in the guy's ears, spit on the ground, touched his tongue, and the little trip under his tongue that caused him to be tongue-tied was supernaturally cut, surgically restored supernaturally, and the guy began to hear and to speak. Why did Jesus spit on the ground before he did that? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. Amen? But we do know, if you've got voices of unbelief in your life that are speaking against your family, speaking against your faith, speaking against your loved ones, you need to rid yourself of those voices. You can't afford the luxury of somebody's unbelief. If you really want to see the power flow, unbelief blocks the spout where the power comes out. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't let people speak against my loved ones. I don't let people speak against the plan of God for my life. I'll just tell them. I don't believe that. I don't receive that. I don't agree with that. Amen? And if you keep on talking that way, you're going to miss me if you like me. Because I'm gone. Well, that's what I do. Sometimes, I said to you on Wednesday night, the best way you can walk in love towards some human beings is turn around and walk the other way and avoid them. I will not listen to any voice. I will not give them access into my life if they speak against my God, His Word, the message of faith, my family, my loved ones, what I'm believing for. Bye-bye, birdie. And I mean it respectfully. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, go to Luke chapter 7. Hallelujah. I want you to see something really powerful here in the Word, right here in Luke chapter 7. Hallelujah. We're going to look at Jesus. Oh, Lord. Jairus' parents, they stayed cool. They stayed calm. They stayed collected. They didn't get offended when Jesus said, get this unbelief out of here. Get it out. And you're not going to be offended because I'm telling you. You get voices of unbelief in your life. If you're believing for miracles, they got to go, baby. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is our example in all things. Amen?
Amen.
Say, they got to go.
They
got
to go.
Baby. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 7. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 7. Hallelujah. Lynn, you okay sitting there in front of that AC like that? Hallelujah. Here, come sit over here. It's warmer over here if you need to. Okay, praise the Lord. Luke chapter 7. Hallelujah. How's the temperature for everybody in here? Getting warm in here? It's okay. Luke 7. Hallelujah. We're going to go and we're going to see where Jesus raised a woman's son from the dead. But along the way, I think it would be good that we take a little side journey. Verse 1, Luke chapter 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. He's a centurion, he's a Roman, he's not a Jew. He heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching Jesus that he would come and heal his, the centurion's servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying he was worthy for whom he should do this. They said, Jesus, this guy's worthy, even though he's not a Jew, he's a Roman, he's worthy you should do this. Why? Because he loves our nation, he loves the Jewish nation, and he built us a synagogue. Jesus' ears perked up. You know, when I told you this morning, you help Israel, God will help you. And look what happened right here. Jesus went with him. He heard he built a synagogue. Jesus said, I'm there. For when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you. But just say in a word, just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Now don't miss this, it'll change your life forever. Look at what he said, for I am a man set over authority. I am a man said what? I am a man under, please say under. I am a man under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he what? There's only two times in Scripture Jesus marveled. Do you realize that? He marveled at this man's faith, and he marveled at his own countrymen's unbelief in Mark chapter 6. Is Jesus marveling at your faith today or your unbelief? There's only two times he marveled. He marveled here at this man's faith. He turned about, said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, they found the servant whole who had been sick. You know what I'd like you to see here this morning? Get a hold of this, get a hold of this. It'll open the spout where the power flows out. He said, I am a man what? I am a man under authority, not over authority. I'm a man with authority. I am a man under authority. I am under Caesar's authority. I tell my men what to do, and they obey me. Because they know if they don't obey me, retribution won't come from me. It will come from Caesar, and they won't like that. So Jesus, I figure spiritual authority works the same way. Quite apparently, Jesus, you are under the authority of your Father. You submit to His word. Therefore, you tell demon powers what to do concerning my servant. And if they don't obey you, they know retribution won't come from you. It'll come from your Father, and they won't like that. And Jesus said, "Woo! I have never, ever, in all my years on this earth, seen faith. A man who understands faith the way that this guy does, and he's not even a Jew. He's not even a man of the book." And this is where so many believers go wrong today. We have more confrontation with people wanting to know why their prayers aren't being answered. And I say, where do you go to church? I don't. But I have faith. I said, no, you don't. You've got rebellion. You're not under authority. You don't need me to pray for you. Amen? You don't need to come around my house trying to adopt a miracle. Give birth to one of your own. Get under a pastor, according to Ephesians 4:11. Then when you talk to the devil, he'll obey you. You won't need to be calling here asking me to jumpstart your faith for you all the time. You hearing what I'm saying? Ephesians 4:11 through 13, God said He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the building up of the body, the edifying of the saints. If we refuse to lock into a local church and a local pastor, we're not under authority. Therefore, we have no authority. Do you get it? That's good. And I didn't write that. I just preach it. People say, you're trying to control me. I say, no, I'm not. I'm trying to get you to control yourself. I'm telling you, the church tramps on Cape Cod. No matter how much they pray for the glory of God to be poured out on Cape Cod, it's not going to happen till they get under the pastor God has for them. And you don't get to choose who your pastor is. I didn't get to choose who my pastor is. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says that the Holy Ghost, He places the members in the body as it pleases Him. Now everybody, what a wonderful little Sunday school lesson. Everybody say, tramping won't get it. Never forget you said those words. Tramping won't get it. If we don't get under authority, we don't have authority. I have kept myself under a pastor for the nearly 30 years I've been saved. I got a hold of this in the Word of God and I realized I need to get under a pastor, stay under a pastor. That's where my authority is. I am not a man with authority. I am a man under authority. My authority comes from above. Woo, did you get anything out of that? Let's just say it again. Tramping won't get it. If you need a miracle from God, you're going to have to get under your pastor. You're going to have to stop floating. Amen? You have to make the decision. Let's just say it together. Say, I'm a charismatic.
I'm a charismatic.
Not a cruisematic. Enough said. Hallelujah. Look what happened here. Pick it up with me in verse 11. You're still there in Luke chapter 7, aren't you? Did you get that? He's a man under authority. He told Jesus, I know how faith works, Jesus. Get under authority. I am one such authority. I don't look all that authoritative, but I am. It's in the anointing. It's what God called me to do. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to be powerful. I don't necessarily say things based upon what people will and will not like. I say things based upon what will and will not help people. Amen? And look right here in verse 11. It came to pass the day after he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. I saw Jesus raise the dead. I said, I saw Jesus raise the dead. You can read that on my website. I saw Jesus raise a man from the dead. I'm not saying it boastfully. I'm telling you, His power is in the earth. His power is still in the earth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said in Malachi 2:6, He said, I am God and I change not. He's the same powerful God today that He was yesterday. When you wake up tomorrow, He'll be equally as powerful. Amen? Hallelujah. There was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her. Whew. Compassion for all children. Amen? It's never His will for children to suffer and to be wayward. He said, weep not. And he came and touched the bear. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, here again, he didn't pray. Get a hold of this. This is commanding power. You can do this. He didn't pray. Father, raise him from the dead. He commanded and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Who? And there came a fear on all. I bet there did. And they glorified God, saying, a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited His people. That's the number one reason God wants to bless your family, right there, to glorify Himself. First, to bless you, second, to help them, third. They glorified God. When God helps your children, your child, when God helps your loved ones, will you give Him glory? When things begin to crack in the spirit realm, will you give Him glory, or will you say it's merely coincidence? Amen? When things start happening instantly for your loved ones, your children in particular I'm talking about, but any family member, will you give them glory? If things only happen progressively, over time, will you give Him glory? Because if you're committed to giving Him glory, He's committed to glorifying Himself in your behalf. You know you deserve to be helped. And He deserves to be glorified. You know why? Because the Bible says He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Let me send you out of here with this, if I may. You deserve to be helped because you're born again and you're a child of God. Do you know that God loves you as much as He loves Jesus? Most people think God loves Jesus more than anybody, and then He loves us second and third. Jesus said in John 17:23, and I know I say it around here all the time, and I'm going to continue to say it until He comes, because it's good. Jesus prayed His last prayer in the garden. Father, let them know You love them as much as You love Me. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if you're born again. You're righteous. Righteous. Somebody said, don't talk about righteousness. That's a big word and hard to understand. It's not a big word. It's not hard to understand. You're a big baby and you're hard to understand. You can understand big words. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Never heard anybody complain about that, but I've heard them complain about righteousness. It's not too big to understand. We can handle big words. It's not all that big. How about supersaturated calcium homogenized lactose? That's milk. That's a big word. Righteousness is so simple to understand, even a child can understand it. It means to have right standing with God. Righteousness. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin, that you might be made the righteousness, please say righteousness, of God in Him. Do you have the same standing with God as Jesus? Now, hallelujah. Faith needs a platform to build on. Righteousness is that platform. I said faith needs a platform or a foundation to build on. Righteousness is that foundation. If you hook up with righteousness and get a revelation of what it is and what it isn't and what it will do for you, you will never again stumble when it comes to believing for your loved ones. You'll start seeing things happen quickly for your loved ones. Get a hold of righteousness. Righteousness is this. It's E.W. Kenyon called righteousness this. The ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. That's what righteousness means. See, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He has blessed you with the ability to stand in His presence without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Listen, you couldn't be more righteous if you died and went to heaven right now. Did you hear that? Now, I know it got a little warm in here, but everybody wake up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said you have right standing with God that cannot be improved upon. Righteousness is not something you do. It's something you receive. Right standing with God is not something you make happen. It's something you receive. Just write this down. Look at it later. Romans 5:17 says, as many as receive abundance of grace and the free gift. Please say free gift. And the free gift of righteousness shall reign and rule in Christ through Christ Jesus. It's something you receive. Righteousness is not something you do. Right standing with God is not something you do. It's something you receive. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. You don't earn a gift. And when you try to earn a gift, you insult the giver. Right? Barbara gave me a birthday gift. I said, sweet, what do I owe you? That'd be insulting. That's what we do to God when we try to earn righteousness. You can't. As a matter of fact, Romans 4:5 says if you try to earn righteousness, now you're backpedaling, you lose it. You check that out in Romans 4:5 sometime. If you try to earn righteousness, you go backwards and you lose it. It's not something you can earn. It's something God gave you as a gift. You could die and go to heaven right now. And when you got there, when you get there, you'll discover you're no more righteous in heaven than you were on the earth. Why don't you use that right standing with God? Use that right standing you have with God and expect a miracle. You deserve to be helped. You accepted Christ as your Savior, and in Him you became the righteousness of God. You could not be more perfect with God if you died and went to heaven. You can grow in love and you're better because faith works by love. You can increase your faith. How does faith come? By hearing the Word of God. You come around here, your faith gets increased to believe God for things. You can grow in love, you can grow in faith. You can't grow in righteousness. It's the righteousness of God that you are. God's perfect. He can't be improved upon. That means your righteousness, your right standing with God, your ability to come and stand in His presence and expect the supernatural cannot be increased. It's perfect. You have a right to take a stand for your children according to Scripture, if you'd stand up, please, and expect results. You know the Bible says if you're born again that you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are seated at the right hand of God. Satan is your footstool. Satan is your problem and he's your footstool. He's your problem, not God, and he's your footstool. He's your problem and you have authority over him. He's the one been causing all the problems at your house and you have authority over him. You have a right to use the name of Jesus and to expect results. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do now? You're going to go out of here, standing in your righteousness, using your authority, no longer wondering if God's going to do it. You're going to go out of here knowing God wants to work the supernatural in my family. You're going to go out of here expecting the supernatural to occur without faith. It's impossible to please Him. For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that He exists, but that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How? Through His Word. What did I preach to you today? His Word. You can stand on His Word. It will get the job done. Use your faith. Use your faith. Use commanding power. Tell that lying devil, you back off my babies and you back off them now. A retribution will come from God, not from me, in Jesus' name. I am a man or a woman under authority. And when I speak, demons listen, or heads roll. Amen?
Amen.
Say this after me. Say, Father, thank you for righteousness.
Thank you for authority.
Thank you for the power of love. I will get myself under authority. And I'll stay there. And I will have authority.
And I will have power.
And things will stop happening to me.
And start happening for me.
Now I'm no church tramp.
I'm no church tramp.
I'm faithful. And I have power. In my faithfulness,
I'm walking in love.
Devil, loose my family.
End of story.
In Jesus' name.